Let us commit this time to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This year, we celebrate Singapore Bicentennial, and this is part of the Bicentennial series of sermons. The Anglican Church has grown with Singapore and serving Singaporeans in need. Today, we focus on the healing ministry of the Anglican Church in Singapore, especially the work of SAMH and SACS. As disciples of Jesus, we follow his example of PhD ministry, preaching, healing, and deliverance. Jesus began his PhD ministry throughout Galilee in fulfillment of prophecy. These are works of the kingdom of God. In his ministry, Jesus consistently calls for repentance for people to turn to God when he engages them, whether in preaching, healing, or deliverance. We heard the story of the healing at the Bethesda pool in today's gospel reading. I visited the Bethesda pool in Jerusalem about 10 years ago. It was very large and deep, and I can imagine many people would gather there hoping to be healed. Bethesda means house of mercy, where the sick and disabled gather to receive mercy from God. Jesus met this man who has been invalid for 38 years, but no one cares about him, so he could not get into the pool while others were getting in. He was a typical left behind in our society today. Straight away, Jesus reached out to him and healed him. Later, we read Jesus met him again in the temple and asked him not to sin again. This was the repentance part, so that this man could be restored holistically. In the other reading, we heard about a beggar at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking money from the apostle Peter and John. The beggar was not expecting healing, but just money to help him survive. But Peter did not have money to give to him. However, he gave him something even better, health. When the beggar was healed, the people who saw started to praise God. And again, healing was followed by people turning to God. Let us now turn to the healing ministry of the Anglican Church. This is a picture I took last year after a meeting at the MND building, Ministry of National Development. This was the first building of the St. Andrew Mission Hospital at Erkins Road, next to the Maxwell Market today. It is an icon of the early healthcare service in Singapore and a symbol of the services of the Anglican Church to share the love of God. Inside this building, there is a special feature which is also associated with an act of love. This is the oldest operating lift in Singapore. It was built with a special purpose. During those days, there were many young patients suffering from tuberculosis in the hospital. The nurses would physically carry them up to the rooftop to have some moments of sunshine and fresh air, which was a challenging job for most of the nurses. And the lift was built to facilitate this. Now let us go back to the beginning of the founding of Singapore in 1819. Anglican settlers from the British East India Company came to Singapore, and the Anglican Church was officially established in 1826. In 1837, the first Anglican Church building was erected, which was called the St. Andrew's Church, to commemorate the Apostle St. Andrew's and the patron saints of Scotland. in honor of the Scottish community who had donated to the building fund. This church was later rebuilt and became our present-day St. Andrew's Cathedral. Now you know why our cathedral is called St. Andrew's. The white church building in the painting was St. Andrew's Church. In 1909, the Diocese of Singapore was established and the Right Reverend Charles Ferguson Davey became the first Bishop of Singapore. In the early days, life was tough in the colony for the common people. Many lived in poverty, and access to health care was mostly a privilege for the colonial administrators and the military. The indigenous people and immigrants were largely left to fend for themselves. The Anglican Church realized the need to be a light in our society. We cannot stay in our nice, beautiful white church and hope for the gospel to reach the world. The gospel must be accompanied by actions. People need to hear and see the gospel. This is Mrs. Ferguson Davies, wife of the first Bishop of Singapore. She was a medical missionary in India before arriving in Singapore with her husband. She saw the plight of local women and children without proper health care and decided to establish the St. Andrew's Medical Missions to run a clinic in Bencoolen Street in 1913. The second clinic was opened at Upper Cross Street in 1914, which served the most destitute of Chinese women and children in that area. The clinic was so popular that patients brought their own beds in order to receive care. A third clinic was established in Pasir Panjang in 1915 to serve the Malay population. Due to high patient volume, the mission built a three-story hospital on Erkins Road, the picture I showed earlier. The St. Andrew Mission Hospital, which opened in May 1923. The hospital operated on voluntary donations, subscriptions, and grants in aid from the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel and annual grants of only $1,800 from the government. In 1924, the hospital began to set up specialist clinics, an eye clinic for abandoned blind children, and a venereal disease clinic for women were opened that year. In 1933, an antenatal clinic was established. In 1939, the mission opened the second hospital at Elliot Road near the East Coast, the St. Andrew's Orthopedic Hospitals. As many children during those days were suffering from bone problems as a result of tuberculosis and poliomyelitis, the East Coast site was chosen, and it was believed that children suffering from these two conditions would benefit from fresh air near the sea. And during those times, Elliot Road was actually next to the sea. Some elderly people we meet today still remember their severe suffering from tuberculosis when young and how the St. Andrew's Hospital saved their lives. One of them shared that when he was hospitalized in St. Andrew's, a nurse gave him a pamphlet on Jesus to read. And that was the beginning of his faith. Today, he is the pastor of a Presbyterian church. In order to sustain and grow the healthcare services for the people, St. Andrew's Mission Hospital was the first institution in Singapore to establish formal nursing training program. It was started in 1916 and revised as a structure program in 1922, 2 years before the Singapore General Hospital started its 4 year nursing training program. One of those who graduated from St. Andrew's nursing program was Janet Lim Chiu Mei. Born in 1923, she was sold and experienced much treatment as a slave girl, we call them Mui Zai, at the age of 8. She was rescued and sent to St. Margaret's School, which is the oldest girls' school in Singapore, established by an Anglican missionary exactly to help all these girls who were saved, who were serving as slaves. She was later trained as a nurse by St. Andrew Mission Hospital, and after the war, she became the first Singaporean to pursue further nursing studies in Britain, specializing in child nursing, and she became Singapore's first Asian hospital matron in St. Andrew Mission Hospital in 1954, a post she held until 1959. During World War II, all the British-run health services were shut down when the British were in turn, but St. Andrew Mission Hospital maintained the calling to serve the people and continue running the clinic with just 2 Asian doctors and a few nurses. At this point in time, it is worth mentioning a special man, Lieutenant Ogawa in the picture, in the Japanese occupation force. He was a Japanese Anglican and happened to be named Andrew. More than just a defender of faith, Andrew Ogawa's actions during the war reflect his Christian character with his compassionate traits. For example, in one unfortunate incident during the war, Ogawa extended his kindness toward 3 Dutch children who were separated from their parents. The Japanese military administration sentenced the 3 Dutch children, a girl of 9 and 2 boys of 7 and 5 years old, to be interned at Changi Prison. And it would be very unlikely that they would survive in the prison. Ogawa sought to shield the children from Changi Prison. He took them to his own residence in Tanglin Road. And despite questioning from the Kanpatai, the Japanese secret police, Ogawa did not bow under pressure and extended protection over the children until he sent them on the ship bound for East Africa. Despite repeated warnings from the Kanpatai for being too friendly to foreigners or the defeated subjects, especially the Anglican clergy, Ogawa continued to intercede on their behalf to his Japanese superiors. Without Ogawa's intervention, many Europeans as well as Singaporeans might not have survived the war. He was later transferred to Sumatra, but after the war, when the British returned, they noticed that the church in Singapore was relatively well treated and all the church buildings were preserved. This was largely due to Ogawa's interventions. World War II was a very difficult time, but this cathedral managed to stay intact as an institution during those turbulent years and continue to function as an anchor which offers a source of hope and peace amidst the rage of war. If you take a closer look around this cathedral, you would find traces of war. For example, these 2 large candlesticks on the holy table were presented to commemorate the many lives lost at the sinking of the 2 British warships, Prince of Wales and Repulse, just before the fall of Singapore. The cross behind this pulpit, you can see they are made of 2 nails, and they were taken from the ruin of the Coventry Cathedral in England, which was destroyed by German bombing. I visited Coventry many years ago. The ruin of the bombed-out old cathedral has been preserved as a monument. There is a very large inscription which says, 2 words only, "Father, forgive." All these monuments or items of remembrance serve to remind us the importance of peace and reconciliation, as all men need the forgiveness of God. Indeed, healing, repentance, and forgiveness always come together. After the war, the Erkins Road building was deemed unsuitable for a hospital, and it was too close to a gas installation. St. Andrew Mission Hospital moved to a bigger building at Tanjong Pagar with only a grant of $8,900 from the government. So various sectors in the community contributed to the building project, and it was opened in 1948. This was another icon of love. Our founding Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew happened to be the Member of Parliament of Tanjong Pagar. Mothers with sick children flocked in droves to the hospital. Some with sick or disabled children even left them on the doorstep of the hospital, knowing that the kind nurses would bring them in and care for them. Next, this lady is Mrs. Eng Neo Thomas, wife of Mr. Francis Thomas, principal of our St. Andrew's School. According to their daughter, when Mr. Thomas proposed to her, she thought he was joking and replied that she was short, fat, and had a flat nose. But Mr. Thomas said that, "I don't see any of this. I only see your hearts." At that time, Potong Pasir was a poor village and often affected by flood. One day she saw an old man plucking leaves from plants to be used for treating his wounds, as he was too poor to afford medical care. She, as a trained nurse, brought him home, treated him, and asked him to come back for follow-up. That old man went back and told the whole village that this kind lady who treated him and is free of charge. And so all of them went to her to seek help. So that same night, she discussed with her husband, and they felt that they had to do something for the poor villagers. And they decided to use part of their own house to run a clinic for the poor. So Mr. Thomas later became the first chairman of the Anglican Welfare Council, which is known as the Singapore Anglican Community Services today. The SACS grew from a small setup in St. Margaret's School and later St. Gregory Hall of the Armenian Church, which is not far from here, right here. Today, we are a multi-service agency and the largest community psychiatric rehab provider in Singapore. The Anglican Ministry has been a faithful witness for the gospel in Singapore and see through the many changes in society. Today, we may not have many poor women, children, or villagers among us, but we continue to serve in new areas of needs, such as elder care, mental health, autism, family, and children. By 2022, with the addition of the latest Tampines North Nursing Home and the two Bedok Active Aging Hubs, we would have 32 institutions and centres across the island with about 1,700 staff and an annual expenditure of 140 million, serving more than 22,000 Singaporeans every year. And God has been blessing us, guiding us, and we never really need to worry about resources. Our healing ministry has touched the hearts and souls of many Singaporeans. We serve without expectations as we are sharing the love of God. When people's hearts are touched by the love of God, they will turn to Him. Our ministry has incorporated strong chaplaincy and pastoral services to ensure the gospel is always available for those who are ready. We do what we can, and we leave the rest to God. Over the years, we have seen many lives change, with many accepting Christ and getting baptized. And it's very encouraging to see, especially many of the elderly who stay in our nursing home, and that may be their last opportunity because they will not be able to go to church, to able to hear the gospel and receive Christ. God's love, which never fails, has blessed Singapore in the past 200 years. Every soul matters to God. Let us work as a channel of God's love so that all those we touch may turn to Him. As one of the largest voluntary welfare organizations, we will continue with the visions of our pioneers, reaching out to those in need in our society. In the same way, let our light shine before others that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon Singapore in the past 200 years. We have developed from a small fishing village to a modern city-state and a developed country. We pray that the Anglican Church will continue to be a light in our society, witnessing your gospel and serving those in need, so that all may experience your love and salvation. We give thanks for the ministry of the St. Andrew Mission Hospital and the Singapore Anglican Community Services. And we pray that you will continue to raise up many men and women of faith to carry out the mission of healing and service. In the name of Christ, Amen.